The first question is, what do we know about our members' or prospective members' needs that is relevant to this discussion? And then what do we wish we knew but don't? The second question is, what do we know about the resources and our vision for the organization, and I put in parentheses here the group, that is relevant to the discussion? What do we wish we knew but don't? Sometimes I think that's a funny question. What do I wish I knew, but I don't? I often think, well, what does that mean? But you'll see where it fits in. Question three, what do we know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of the world and our fellowship that is relevant to this discussion? And what are the pros and cons? What do we wish we knew but don't? And the fourth question, what are the ethical implications of our choices? What do we wish we knew but don't? Again, to eliminate any confusion with all the wording, I highlighted the key point of each question in red to make it easier. So let's take the group through the situation and how that might look to these, with these. These questions that are used to help gather information, everyone can add to them, use them as a basis for discussion, and they provide common information so everyone can be on the same page. Remember now, everybody's going to get a copy of this before you have your discussion. So, this is where I'd like to have some input if you, two or three people for each question. If you'd like to participate again, put your hand up. What do we know about our members' or prospective members' needs that is relevant to this discussion? What do we wish we knew but don't? This is a great question which tells us that before we complete each of the questions, we might need to do some additional work or research to help us broaden our thinking so we can even make a better decision. Not every question can be answered, but we can be sure to try to find answers to some questions. So, what would we like to know about our members or prospective members' needs that is relevant to this discussion? I'll give you the first answer that I came up with, and that's a safe meeting place. What do we know our members want?
Corey?
We just recently came across exactly this problem. It was the question, how do we get to the main train station and back? You know, what is the easiest way to get there? And the car parks, you know, the spaces for the cars. And how can new people enter the place? So that was three things we really had to discuss about. And this is where our choices came into consideration, to have a place that is very central in town.
Thank you. That's what I had down here on my page, easy access. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I never think about public transportation, but your meetings in Europe and other countries, that's the mode of transportation most of our members have. Anybody have another thing that you think they should be concerned about when looking?
Maddie. There you go.
Yes. Thank you, Judy. This is one of the things we had to come up a few years ago with our group, and the safe meeting place was one, but because the group was small, it was also how much would we have to pay in rent. So we had to look at all of those aspects, not just the safe meeting place, but did we take in enough money monthly to pay rent? And also, are we moving out of the area where most of the members who did come could have access to that meeting?
That's right.
And we had to look at all of that.
Yeah. We want to find the most beneficial place to move our meeting to. Will members drive further, or do we need to stay in this neighborhood?
I have another one, Margaret.
Hi. Level of privacy as far as sound going through the walls and so on like that, or a way to keep things anonymous. And the unique thing that we came across was who are your neighbors? We had a beauty salon next door to us, and the toxic fumes actually were able to go through the vents, or I don't know exactly how it happened, so it became a problem. So it was a little unusual. Thank you.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Thank you, Margaret. Good to see you. Julia.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
We had this problem with our group, and it was because of the church wanted to keep the door locked, and our meeting room was inner room in the church, so we were a ways away from the door. And the problem was, how do people have access into the meeting? So we went round and round with that one. But it was access to the meeting room inside the building, because most buildings have an outer door and they want to keep them locked. I mean, for obvious reasons, but it really became a problem with our group.
Thank you, Julia. Yeah. Jamie.
Am I on mute? Okay.
Yeah.
What's happening in Southern California with groups is that a lot of the churches now are requiring insurance. So that's another huge option. You know, will they require insurance, and how much will that be? And will the area help out? And so I think that's another relevant question about, that situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Lori?
So many of my groups are small, and how much will the rent be? Can the group afford it?
Thank you, Lori. Margaret, you're still here. Is this?
Yes, it's a new, sorry, we just went through moving in December. So the other thing we had to make sure is that the fire marshal decided how many people could occupy the space, and then did it have a safe exit in case of emergencies and so on. And he wasn't satisfied. So we had to go through figuring all that out too. So those were other considerations. Thank you.
Gone are the days we just plopped our chairs down someplace and had a meeting. Okay, let's move on to the next question. You'll see that some of these answers will fit under more than one question. That's not a problem. List them under everything that you think they might go under. The second question, what do we know about the resources and our vision for the organization? We're going to change that to our group that is relevant to this discussion. I think some of the things that we had under the first question would probably apply to this also. But there are some other things that I thought about. How about the chairs? Enough chairs? Mm-hmm. And somebody mentioned parking. This would be something to be parking. Can anybody else think of something else we might need to think about?
I've got Joyce here. Joyce?
Okay.
Security. If the locale is where the people come in and out can feel safe. Accessibility. If we have folks that need can't do stairs or have other needs, to be considered of that as well. Thank you.
These are all good things that you can bring up and have as preparation for the group decision. When we're going to have a task force that goes out to look. So right now we're just collecting answers. So these are all really good.
Dory,
you really get the drift of things here.
One thing our group faced was how do we meet, or how many people are allowed in this room during Corona, because we're only allowed to have a certain number of people in the room. So that is also important now. If the group gets bigger, is there enough space, or is there a possibility to stay, or is there a larger room? Can you shift in this building, for example? So growing of the group is a thing, and in case of workshops, etc., is there space for different amounts of people? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, Judy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, for question three, what do we know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of the world in our fellowship? Again, our group, that is relevant to this discussion. There's a lot of things we have to consider now. What do we know about the current realities and evolving dynamics of the world in our fellowship?
Can you give us an example, Judy?
I would say we need a safe meeting place. We need to have our anonymity protected. Bathrooms need to be accessible.
Well, if I may, mm-hmm. when we go back to our meeting and our meeting space in the current conditions of the world, do we want to incorporate Zoom into our live meeting? Are we going to go back to a live meeting, or would we like this meeting, or would we like to make this meeting a Zoom meeting? Those things are being discussed over the world right now.
You're right. Anything else?
Kiki.
Yeah, I was just confused by the question because it's not the one that matches what's on the screen. So I don't know if we covered this answer or...
Yeah, no, sorry, I got carried away. There you go. Sorry.
Did we cover the answer in question two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
George. George, if you unmute yourself. There you go. Okay. Yeah, there you are.
Okay, you can hear me now.
Yes.
I guess in terms of these world events, we're living in a more violent world now. And some of the groups here in my area, in my district, we have had to deal with both with members who become unruly and can become threatening. We've had members sort of get agitated and they threaten other people in the meeting room. And we've also had to look at when something like that happens, do we have access to, for example, police, or can we ask for the security guard in the building to intervene? So I think that in one of the dimensions of the whole safety issue is that we have to accept the world we live in now is a more violent world, and people do act out in our meetings and in the buildings where we might be located. Thanks.
Good
Thank
point,
you, George.
Good point.
District 200.
Oh, sorry. This is Terry. I don't know about now, but before when we were going to face-to-face meeting, it was a big hassle with the traffic here in Miami. And sometimes after work, you know, to get to a meeting, it was a big deal with the traffic. So a lot of people are enjoying the reality that in Zoom, you connect and you see people and you don't have to travel. It's the convenience of your home. We also had what was just spoken before, some violent incidents in at least one of our groups. And we also had a church where we have a lot of our groups that wanted and still wants liability insurance. And of course, we're not a corporation, and nobody's going to sign and get an insurance. So those were three real different problems we were having with face-to-face meetings: the violence, the insurance, and the traffic. So okay. Zoom is a pretty good option. Thank you.
Thank you. iPhone. Can you unmute? There you go.
Hi, Judy. with our group, of course, it's a minimum thing. We have it in a church, and we are going month by month waiting as to when they will start opening the church again. And in the meantime, then we do month to month to do Zoom, and then we're those funds agreeing upon those, you know, coming out of the treasure. Just some, you know, new things that go along with this pandemic. Thanks.
Thank you. Joy.
Hi. What we had with our group is that we were promised a space, a room, and then every other week they said, oh, we need somebody else in that room, and they would move us to a different room. Mm-hmm. So we were constantly hopping rooms in the facility, which didn't really benefit us because the newcomer could never seem to find us properly. So, and even members were having difficulty with that. So that was something that I did not know. We did not know when we entered into it. We signed up to be there, but we needed to make a decision whether we wanted to move and change. And then we had to consider all the possibilities of another place of rent, all that kind of stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Joy. Joyce.
With the times as they are, I think tradition 10 about having no opinion on outside issues is more important than ever. And that really goes back to not being drawn into the public controversy, to feel safe. And thank you.
Thank you. Maureen. No, hold on. There. Maureen, can you unmute?
Yeah. Yep. Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for this meeting. And what came to my mind was the seventh tradition, which says every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And here in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area, the physical meetings are not taking place and we're dependent upon the Zoom meetings. And what is an issue, I don't know how it could be resolved, is that when we were in the meetings, obviously the basket was passed around and whoever wanted to make a contribution, it was a lovely gift. Now that we're in the Zoom meetings, I don't believe that the money's coming in towards the weekly meetings is there. And that could be a problem down the road if and when we do open up and go back to the rooms, if we do. It all depends upon the coronavirus. And I think, as Yvonne mentioned, that maybe there'll be the meetings and Zoom participating at the same time. So my point is how do we keep the funds rolling in under these circumstances? Thank you.
Certainly have
Thank
some,
you.
Don't we?
Yeah, and before I go to Jamie, I just want to add to the current realities and the evolving dynamics of this world, what are the pros and cons? So some of the questions that come up for me is that if we make a meeting, a hybrid meeting, will people actually show up face-to-face, or will there be two in the room and 20 on Zoom? What will that do to the face-to-face meetings? We need extra service positions. We need a host to bring a computer. We need somebody to log on. We need internet. We need to pay for the Zoom. And how we're going to get the funds is one of the questions that comes up mostly, especially when you do worldwide meetings. I cannot access the Venmo equivalent in Europe that we have. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to send money in a card. How can that be bridged over? And that would be PayPal, but can the groups afford that? Mm-hmm. The extra service positions, the pros are more people involved, more unity, more experience. How do we set the room up? We can't sit at a table anymore because then I only see half of the table and I would like to be involved in the room. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into those current dynamics and the new way of meetings for those who are interested in doing hybrid or Zoom. Thank you. Jamie.
Yes. So Yvonne covered just about, I was going to lower my hand, but the one thing that I think about with our current realities and our evolving dynamics, especially if a meeting has face-to-face and Zoom at the same time, the issue is that then are you a face-to-face registered meeting or are you an electronic registered meeting? That right now, currently, there's no way to register a meeting that's a hybrid meeting, if that's what we're going to call them. And so there needs to be a platform for that or some kind of a structure where that's one thing. And here in California, at least Southern California, we're still locked down anyway. But the other issue, too, when you have a Zoom meeting and a face-to-face meeting and you're voting on a local issue that the area might be, you know, if you need to vote on something like that, do you ask your participants that are not in your area not to participate in the business meeting? So there's a lot of unanswered questions about that with our current realities and evolving dynamics. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Darlene. Can you
unmute? Hi, thank you. Yes. Thank you. I'm Darlene, a grateful member of Al-Anon. I'm so thankful for you putting this workshop together. I belong to a virtual group that we started out at 12, and we're now up to 120 and 140 people a day, Monday through Friday. And it has become an issue of the positions and how do we make decisions. And as it was already alluded to, the fact that there's people with experience and the new ones, and it's just so many issues that are coming up. Because in an in-person meeting, you have issues and you can resolve them. But how do we communicate through a WhatsApp? And that's leading to a lot of misunderstandings. And so we're having Zoom meetings, and it's just a mess. And so I'm just so grateful to be here and learning new skills. Thank you for putting this in workshop. And I think it's, you know, something along the sides of our virtual meetings. How do we manage them? It's getting to be a reality. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Darlene.
I think we could do a whole meeting on just what's going on today. Let's move on to the fourth question, because some of the discussion has gotten into this. The fourth question is, what are the ethical implications of our choices? In other words, will our decision be consistent with our spiritual principles? And this is where the traditions come in. And I was the example that I thought about, and you all have certainly come up with so much better ones than I had even thought about, but as a treatment center is offering a place for us to meet, do they want to impose anything that might imply affiliation? So, you know, that's one thing that we always have to think about. But you all have certainly come up with some great ones. You have any more that you'd like to bring up under this violation of conditions?
I hate doing this to you, Judy, but yeah. Could you tell me in about a few minutes what is a spiritual principle for those who are still vague on that?
Okay, spiritual principles. When we get to step 12, it talks about having worked these steps we follow these spiritual principles. All those things that we learn from our steps are the principles of Al-Anon, you know, trust, love, joy, all those things. And the reason I talk about them as spiritual is because you can't touch them. They're spiritual and they're feeling, they're there. We practice love because that's one of our spiritual principles. We talk about joy. That's one of our spiritual principles. Being humble, it's one of our spiritual principles. So that's, I know
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people call them principles, but I like to call them spiritual principles. Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, I know that. For me, for many years, I heard the word principle and spiritual, and I'll go, yeah, 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 yeah. But when I really thought about it, what is the difference between a principle and a value? I was stumped. I was like, what? And where do I find this list? And I discovered that a principle is a constant. There is no white lie, big lie, small lie, goodwill lie, not good lie. There's just a lie. A lie is a lie. We make it big, small, and not true. And when I base my values on a constant that I learned through the steps and the traditions and the concepts, then I can put the value on there between one is the lowest and 10 is the highest. And so, but first I need to know, what are these principles? How do they work? And what do they embody as a constant? And how do I warp them by saying, oh, it's a white lie. Oh, it is for your own good that I lied to you. That has never proven right to me. I get pissed off when I'm lied to after the fact. So that's why I asked when we want to talk about principles. Kiki.
Hi. I just wanted to mention, or I guess ask, if the service manual is a place where some of these questions could be answered, because I just, something about service positions that was mentioned in the discussion, I guess, that was happening before this question, just understanding like what additional service positions are needed and how groups create service positions was something that I was curious about.
That needs to go in there. So when you discuss it, when you get your group together, that needs to be talked about, doesn't it?
Margaret.
I'm Margaret from Grass Valley Al-Anon Fellowship. I just want to, a couple of things. We have 11 or 12 meetings, and three of them now are hybrid, which is face-to-face with a Zoom component. And it, we had to work very closely with the Nevada County Health, and the task force that you're talking about, we did use this process, and the whole thing of the trusted servants and who were best qualified to figure out, you know, how to do the screen, who could set what up, and how to do that. It took time. It took civil conversation and so on, but it has worked. And the other thing is for notifications or telling, WSO does not keep track of this, and so it's for, in our area, it's being done. We send the information. The GR sends the information to our DR, and that's being tracked in a column through AIS. And so that's where that information is available, because at this point, the WSO may or may not allow, once this pandemic, this is what we've been told, pandemic is over, may or may not allow hybrid meetings. And so I think that may be where the hiccup is. I'm truly hoping they will, but it is possible. And I see the joy on the people's faces, you know, that are able to go into the room. I don't intend to, but some people, it's really meaningful, and it's all spaced out and with all the health concerns, and there's communication between those of us Zooming and those in the room, and we feel very connected. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Libby. Libby, can you unmute yourself?
Okay, now I am. Good?
Yes, now you are.
I just want to let people know about a resource. I can put the link in the chat if that's available, if that's open to people now. New York City Intergroup did a workshop on virtual meetings, things like service positions and how do you do treasury and how do you have safety in Zoom meetings, and they posted the video of that workshop. It was a Zoom workshop on their website. So it's nycalanon.org. I can put it in the chat if that's open to people.
It is open. If you want to put the link, go ahead. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
I see some things in the chat. They can't allow each meeting is autonomous. So she's saying they're doing face-to-face and Zoom at the same time. You know, as far as I know, Judy, and correct me if you know different or anybody else, that you are allowed to do a hybrid. You just need to be registered either as Zoom or as face-to-face. They have not said that they cared about either registration. And it's up to us to decide that. But what I do am looking at, is the ethical implication of my choices when I do what I do in the current realities, and what are my pros and cons in that? And so by broadening the perspective in and on recovery, by hearing things differently that I've already heard in America, I hear it said differently in English, and then all of a sudden, if I listen to the UK, it comes in and I'm like, oh my God, I've never heard it like that, although I am familiar with what's being said. So it broadens the recovery. And what are my values around this program that is a program that welcomes anybody and everybody as long as we keep the focus on the family disease? And so if I look at that principle that I hold and how that benefits my meeting, and so we get to talk about our values. Patrick in Las Vegas.
I cannot unmute myself.
No, I know, but you're unmuted now. Thank you.
Okay. Hi. I have done a couple of these KDBMs, and I struggle with what's coming up here is a lot of people have a lot of good thoughts and information. Is it important which question it goes under? I struggle, okay, does it go under this question or that question? Should I put it under both questions? I guess it's my perfectionism that wants it to everything to fit just right. So, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it is not important what question it goes under. In fact, I have been on Thought Forces where the same answer has gone under three or four different questions, or mm-hmm. all of them.
Yeah.
So, the important thing is that you get the item written down someplace. And you'll see some of these questions are, you know, can be answered the same way, or some of them bring up different ideas too. And the more you do this, the better you get at it. You know, it's like everything else.
Judy, there's a question in the chat. Okay. Can we move back to the presentation on the KBDM process versus the specific issues on this topic?
Yes, yes.
And why we're doing this?
Why? Go ahead.
Would you like to address that?
I'm doing it because I was asked to do it, but we're doing it because there's a lot of interest in having discussions in our groups. The GRs are people having difficulties getting a business meeting together, or have difficulties with the presenting things, and whose job is it, and how do you do it? So that was my understanding, that that's why so many people wanted to know how it applies to my group.
Yeah, Mary wants to get back to the presentation versus the specific issues. And Mary, I learn the process by being put in the process. And even though we're talking about certain topics, specific issues that are current, I get to experience a little bit the KBDM process through the presentation what Judy is doing. So that's why we're taking time to listen to all the people and get all the perspectives, because the inclusion and the transparency and the discussion, even if it gets redundant sometimes in some people's opinions, is the inclusion that we do in the transparency in Al-Anon to be heard and to be seen and to feel that we have a voice. But I'll give it back to Judy.
Okay. Let's move on. So we're back to this again. So we've done the originating group. We've taken it to the GR. The GR's appointed a thought force, and the thought force has gotten the questions. So these are the four questions that we've already gone through. We've studied. We've done research. So now we're getting ready for the next meeting. We're down here. This is where the GR is going to plan the meeting, and we're going to conduct the meeting. So, but before we conduct that meeting, we have to go back and get all the information and make sure everybody that's going to be at the meeting has this information. We say ideally a week or two before, but, you know, reality is we're lucky if we get it when we walk in the meeting. But we do try to get it out as much as possible. So now that the GR, it's called the meeting, we're going to have the conduct of the meeting. So the thought force presents everything. They have a discussion, and the group says, yes, we'd like to move. We don't want to close the meeting. We'd like to move. But when the people go out and look for a meeting room, which we're going to appoint a task force, these are all the things that we think are important. Now, some of the things that come up on these questions, the group may say, no, we don't care about that. Or the group may say, yes, we really care about that. And so the task force that's going to be appointed will take all that information into account. And so when they get together and they meet, they're going to come up with some ideas and some suggestions, and they're going to look for a room to have a meeting in. Ideally, they'd come up with two or three, and then they're going to come back the next week or two, whenever, because, you know, time is of essence. They have to move next month. So they're going to come back to the meeting and say, these are the meeting spaces. We met, we've observed all the things that you said you were concerned about. You you wanted a safe place, you wanted security, you wanted bathrooms, you wanted chairs, you wanted tables. And we found three meeting rooms that that meet that qualification. And so this is when the originating group would get together and they'd take a vote and they'd have their meeting room. That simple. So you have the group, the idea, the thought force, who are the thinkers, and then it comes down here to the task force, who are the doers, and then the group who decides on the final outcome. Discussion and voting. Something old is new again. It's kind of like we used to say, just talk to each other and reason things out. Reaching a group conscience is not a new idea in Al-Anon. Every voice is heard during our process. Even the concept minority opinion is heard before the motion was ever crafted. How many times have you had a meeting where you make a decision and somebody okay come in and say, but I don't think we consider this. That's the minority view. And so we let them be heard. Now they have a right to be heard, but they don't have a right to be right. So once they speak their minority opinion, if there's any, what I call gathering of the troops or gathering of the opinions, and then you would probably have to take a vote again. But usually once the minority, after you've had this discussion and they have had their opportunity to share before the vote, before this all came up, and before the motion was crafted, they should be included. Their opinions were included in the discussion and the final vote. So that's why it's important to have this discussion before the vote is taken.
Judy, question.
Yes.
What if there is, like, say, 50 people in a room and we're taking a vote, regardless of topic, and there is one person or two people that abstain, and we're asking for the minority voice to be heard, and the person states exactly why they didn't vote, what happens then? Do we just quietly move on to the next topic, or would we open it back up for discussion? How does that work?
I think you have to take a sense. Usually it's just one or two, and if you let them be heard, and if there's anybody else, and you get a more of a gathering, as I say, and then I would have another discussion. But I have never seen this happen with this process, because they've had their opportunity to
correct
that opinion before the motion was crafted.
Correct. Correct. And they're not using this process. I was just a question that does happen regularly.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate, I am. Thank you.
Yeah. That's why it's so nice to have the discussion and you craft the motion after you have the discussion that includes all the discussion points that are important.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any more questions about that? Because that's really an important, important thing in this whole process.
Lori, Arizona.
Yeah, I'm involved in a a workshop that's being put together, and there was a decision that was reached, and there were a couple of members, including myself, who I had had some surgery, who were unable to come. And then a minority opinion, myself and another person, it was brought up, and it created a lot of, I think, some confusion. And then, well, they said the group already decided, they talked about this, we voted, you weren't there. So I have a little, I'd like a little more clarity. I have looked at what the service manual has to say about it, and it was discussed, but yeah, what happens then?
That's sad, and that's what happens. And I've been in groups where people that had another opinion, and they weren't there that night, and you know, the group has to move on. You know, when we did the Alateen behavior requirements, we had a minority opinion filed about that too. And the board heard it and chose to move on because that was all we could do. Mm-hmm. You can't stop a process because one or two people, again, I say two people, one person, if you had 50 people there, if you had five people there, two would make a big difference if you only had, you know, if you had five. If you had a group of 50 and two people had a minority opinion, they need to be heard and see if anybody changes their opinion. You know, sometimes minority opinions people haven't thought about before. Mm-hmm.